Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks again to John Hendricks for joining us. Now we're going to go to Josh Alper, NFL writer for NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk, as we get a view outside of the Saints bubble we're kind of waxed into here during training camp. He's at Josh Alper on Twitter again, profootballtalk.com. Josh, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Let's start with the Saints here. They're going out to Los Angeles. I think they're in the air as we speak to practice with the Chargers. Didn't see much in that first preseason game. The expectations are all over the place for this team. Josh, what are your expectations here as we kind of wind through camp?
Well, I think they're high. I think this is a team that was obviously very, 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 very close to the Super Bowl last year. And I think that there have been some obvious, you know, some losses, some gains, but the key guts of the team remain the same. And I think especially, you know, once you got the Mike Thomas issue out of the way and got him in, it's been quiet. It hasn't been a loud camp for the Saints. There hasn't been a ton of, you know, drama. And I think that's a good thing for a team in the spot that they're in. I think it's very businesslike. And, you know, I think my expectations are high for them again this year. I thought that going into last year, they were a Super Bowl favorite. I haven't quite nailed down my choice yet, but they're one of the three or four teams in the NFC that are right there for me.
Yeah, we've seen that quiet camp too. Not much news coming out of this camp. I think maybe that has a lot to do with Drew Brees and the way he leads this team from that quarterback spot. Is the decline for Brees here, did we see that at the end of last season? Was there not much to worry about there from your perspective, Josh?
I don't think he's not the same quarterback he was 10 years ago. Of course he isn't, but he's a quarterback that you can certainly win. And I think the biggest move in that direction was to bring in Jared Cook and to bring in a tight end who can do the things that Jared Cook can do on the field and draw the kind of attention he can draw when you have already Thomas on the outside and all these other receivers that Drew Brees knows and likes and trusts and obviously Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield. I think you give him so many choices that he's going to be making easy throws. And look, you don't want him trying to put a ball between two defenders. I wouldn't want that for most quarterbacks in the NFL, but I think you put him in a position to succeed and it mitigates any of the decline that's, you know, clearly there in terms of arm strength, stamina, durability, those things. I think there's a lot of ways to protect him and continue to thrive with him. But, you know, you get a quarterback to this age, it's still a very uncharted territory that when the bell is going to ring for them, you know, I think you know it. And I haven't seen that for Brees yet, certainly not with the level of talent that remains around him on that offense.
Yeah, kind of predicting his decline. I don't know, that's the same exercise trying to predict to Tom Brady's demise and the Patriots' demise. We're just continuing to wait for it to happen. And interesting you bring up Jared Cook there. You've watched his entire career like we have, and he's been a guy that's always been really hyped since he came out of college. Last year, age 32, probably his best season. Well, statistically, it was his best season. Yards, catches, touchdowns, all career highs. Is this a guy who's blooming late? Is he just in a better fit in Oakland and now here in the Saints? What have you seen with Cook?
I think he's like a lot of players, and it's in terms of how you use him. And there have been other times where his health hasn't been great, and he's been in positions to really succeed. I think some of those early years with Tennessee, he had a spot to do that. But then, you know, you go to the Rams, and those Rams teams that he was on were, you know, very offensively challenged. And so I think when you put him in, you know, that Raider team wasn't great last year, but, you know, John Gruden is a good offensive coach, and Derek Carr knew right away that the only guy he could throw to and count on was Jared Cook. Now, you're not going to get that same kind of production from a raw stat standpoint with the Saints, because they're not going to need him to do the same kinds of things that the Raiders needed him to do. And that almost, I think, is better, because he becomes this weapon, I think, particularly in the red zone, where you're just going to have too many options for a defense to defend. And I think this is a really good spot for him as he continues to get older, he's not going to be asked to do 100% of the things. You have other guys in who can block. You have other guys who can handle different parts of the portfolio, and really count on him as a receiver and an outlet on a third and five. You're going to be looking Jared Cook's way a lot, I would think.
Yes, they'll have a better option there across from Mike Thomas than they did last year, no doubt about it. Talking to Josh Alper, NFL writer for NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk, joining us here on The Last Lap. He's on Twitter at Josh Alper. NFC South is really an interesting bug for me to kind of squash here. I don't really understand. I can't really predict, I should say, who's going to be this main challenger to the Saints in this division. I have a feeling it's going to be Atlanta. Other people, matter of fact, almost everybody here has told me, no, it's going to be Carolina, Josh. What do you think? Handicap this for me. Who's the main challenger for the Saints here in the NFC South?
I would tend to go with the Falcons as well. I think that last year they had so many injuries, and they still put up a competitive fight, but defensively they were so outgunned that it's almost – unbelievable they won as many games as they did. I think you get back to that, and you get back to Dan Quinn running that defense with a little bit of, you know, a fire of urgency under them that maybe they didn't have last year. I like that a lot. Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, Matt Ryan, deep on offense. All of that said, if Cam Newton's healthy, and Cam Newton's healthy for 16 games, it has the potential to be a game changer for the entire division, because it's been a few years since we've seen that. And I think we all remember that 15-1 season, how impossible it was to stop Cam Newton. And so if that Cam Newton should show up, and I think that is very much a question mark, I think that swings things very big in the favor of the Panthers in a way that could even put them as a favorite.
Yeah, that Cam Newton is a nightmare for every Saints fan. I heard you say that, by the way. So we'll see if that happens. This Jadeveon Clowney story, it continues to fascinate me. The rumors have really ramped up over the past 24 hours. You have a team that you think's kind of in the lead in the sweepstakes. It sounds like to me, Josh, that he's not going to be playing at Houston during this season with all the talk the last day.
Yeah, you know, it's an odd one to me, because I think that for a team to trade anything of real value for a player that you can't sign to a contract before the end of the year, and as much as you say, well, we'd have assurances, you know, what happens if Clowney blows out his ACL, God forbid, but what happens if that happens, and to turn up, you know, real draft assets for a player that now you're not even going to re-sign, or that you're going to re-sign as a flyer. It's all a bit shaky in my head. Now that said, if a team like the Dolphins were to want to get someone here, get him in a way that they don't think they'd be able to land him in free agency and spend a year convincing him to buy into the system, I suppose I could see that, but I can't see a team. I really think that there's a lot of smoke here being generated, but I don't, at the end of the day, really believe that he's going to be on the move. I said Miami, Tampa Bay would make sense too as a replacement for JPP for this year, and to say that you're going for it, but I don't know that makes much sense for a team that I think is, you know, really fringy as a contender at this point.
He's Josh Alper, one of the best NFL writers. He's at ProFootballTalk.com, and he's on Twitter at Josh Alper. Josh, appreciate the time tonight.
Great. Have a good night.
All right, you too. We'll take a break. Back with more as The Last Lap continues on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.